It's nighttime aboard the Oz-9 as the crew sleeps oblivious to the imminent dangers that lie ahead, or behind, or maybe in between. Yet somewhere within the podcasting metaverse that connects us all. The Discussing Network presents Discussing Comics. I am Kyle Jones, and for the very first time on Discussing Comics, I get to welcome the one, the only, and because I love saying it, even though I know she's not the one and only, because she's going to tell me that, Shannon Perry.
I'm How not telling you? You that story this time. I refuse.
You know, and believe it or not, she's not the only one in Seattle where she comes from.
That is true. And the other one is this extremely talented tattoo artist. Like, so different than I am because I have needle phobia and will never have a tattoo. And she's, like, amazing and famous. But anyway, far more interesting than I am.
You're infamous. How about that? And why are you infamous? You are infamous because you are the creator and one of the stars of one of my very favorite podcasts, a comedy scripted podcast called Oz-9. So, before we get into Oz-9, for anyone listening who has never listened to Discussing Who and never heard me fanboy about the Oz-9 by saying just various things from Oz-9 just whenever I can, I will say, put us on pause, go out, listen to it, come back, because from this moment forward, spoilers.
Spoilers.
Affirmative.
Spoilers.
Spoilers? What spoilers?
And I killed Sparky, too.
Alrighty, the spoiler warning has gone out, and Shannon Perry, Oz-9, putting you on the spot. Elevator pitch.
Oh, no.
Oz-9. What is Oz-9?
It's a very silly science fiction comedy that is basically, somebody called it The Office meets Gilligan's Island in space, which I think is actually pretty brilliant. It kind of is, with a little bit of the Muppets. And it's a lot of very, very dumb people in space trying to not be dead.
Very Gilligan's Island. That's very true. That's that's very, because I was thinking dumb people on an island, dumb people in space.
But they had night vision goggles.
They did have night vision goggles, or at least they know how to use them.
Recognize them when they see them.
Before we get into why we're talking about it on Discussing Comics, other than me being a fan, my question is, I'm going to go back to a couple of years ago when you and your brother and some friends decided to make this podcast. The origins. This is the secret origin of Oz-9. Tell me.
Secret? I don't know that it's so secret. But so Tim and Richard are good friends of ours. Tim, who plays Colin, and Richard, who plays Leet. And they're partners. Richard had bought Tim for his birthday or for Christmas some old radio scripts, because Tim is a voice actor already and does like Reading for the Blind and some other things. So they invited us over. We all got together and did these radio scripts that were this Dickensian Sherlock Christmas Carol kind of thing. And we had fun with it. So the four of us were all sort of dancing around this one microphone in Tim's recording space. And it was really fun, but we didn't do anything with it because we were kind of terrible. And it was just giggles anyway. But we kind of got the itch. And then it was like, you know, I want to write something fun that somebody might actually someday get to enjoy besides myself and my bottom drawer. So why don't we do a podcast? So then my brother had recently moved to town. So the five of us then got together around a table and talked about what we could do. And somebody had the brilliant idea of, let's make Olivia the ship AI. So, which was inspired, quite frankly. And then I don't even know whose idea that was, but it was really funny. And we all had a good laugh and then decided, yeah, why not? Like, we want it to be funny. We know we want to do a comedy. We want to do it in space. And thus, Oz-9 was born.
So did you go into it knowing that there would be two characters you would wind up playing?
Well, at that point, I was the only female in the group. So I gave myself two characters because we needed a captain and we needed an AI. And then we very promptly brought Bonnie onto the team, Bonnie Brantley from Austin, Texas, who's a good friend of Eric's. And at that point, I was like, should have given that to her.
No, because it just works too well, because I love Bonnie doing her Donna impersonation, which is so different from Jesse. Total polar opposite.
Yeah.
Yes. Because it's funny as a listener, Jesse, I just want to like beat up. You know, I just want to get and beat her up because I'm a big Captain Madeline fan and I just want to beat up Jesse. But I love Donna.
Right.
I can't get enough of Donna. Everything is just, and she plays the contrast of the two so well.
Mm-hmm. She's great. Oh my God. We have the most amazing cast that we just kind of lucked into and stumbled on and so fortunate. But what's so funny about Donna is she was going to be a one-time character. She was just supposed to be some odd receptionist at G2 headquarters when people were breaking in to try and locate some old files or get some information. But people loved her, and Bonnie really enjoyed playing her, and she was so much fun to write for that we just kind of kept including her, and then she disappeared for a while, and then she showed up on a telephone call, and then all of a sudden, she's like a hugely major character that's going to be part of what the plot twists on, and now we've got wonderful Lee Shackelford playing Pluto, and the relationship between the two of them, I just am having so much fun with. They are so great together.
Of the first, because I consider your assassins part of the first batch.
Yeah.
But then you have a second batch of characters that you've mm-hmm. introduced. And I think, because all of your cast, I don't want to play favorites or any way, shape, form, or fashion. But if I were to say out of your second batch, the one that has just, for me, captivated my attention the most is Mrs. Sheffield. There is just something about that
Sarah.
Voice.
Sarah Golding is just, you can't not love her. I like, as a human being, as an actor, as a supporter of the community, she's amazing in every form. And she, you know, it's so funny because we were kind of sounding out what that character was going to be. And I knew I wanted her to be like this super spy. And we're going to get more into allowing her to play out disguises, because Sarah has this amazing capacity to do all these different accents and be all these different kinds of characters. So we're going to use that more, which I cannot wait. I can't wait. In fact, our next episode, we're going to get that sort of, we're going to start launching that a little bit more. But yeah, Mrs. Sheffield turned out to be just such a cool character and so much fun. And, you know, we played with how that character was going to sound and look, and then she just came out even cooler than I'd hoped for. She's
so I want to focus on a word you just said, on how the characters sound and look. Mm-hmm. And I want to focus in on their look exactly. And a gentleman by the name of Lucas Elliott.
Yes.
How did you meet Lucas, and how did he collaborate, or what was the collaboration process to bring the visuals to these characters?
Oh, I love telling this story because it's we initially got to know him thanks to, once again, Richard and Tim. They met him at Emerald City Comic Con. So Lucas does all kinds of wonderful art, and he's been around for a while, and he has his own graphic novel, which you should definitely check out. But they met him at Emerald City Comic Con and loved his work and met him a few times, and then they hired him to do their wedding portrait, which is this wonderful, gorgeous thing of the two of them and their dog, Roxy, who's hilarious. And it's so charming and so fun. And so I was kind of fishing around looking for I wanted good illustration. I wanted good artwork. And none of us is going to do that. Bonnie's good, but the rest of us. So I was fishing around and said, do we know anybody who does good artwork? Tim and Richard said, well, yeah, Lucas. Oh, duh. So we got on the horn to him very quickly and said, hey, would you be willing to kind of work with us on some characters? He said yes. So we started with sort of the initial first group, Olivia, Madeline, Joe, Colin, and Leet. And then added Jesse. And then, you know, as more characters came onto the ship and down to Earth, we just kept going back to him and going back to the well. And really, the process is me saying, I need a this, and him going, what the hell is that? Like, I don't know. You tell me. And then he comes up with these amazing pictures.
The one that is the most creative, and I would love to hear him say how in the heck he created it, was the zebra.
Greg
the zebra.
We love Greg. And he got named, incidentally, because Kiyomi, who is one of our great listeners and great, great friends, she put in a name for the Howard. Name the Howard contest. Mm-hmm. Remember the second head of the two-headed robot? But I thought the name was so funny. It would be so funny for the zebra. And I said, can I have it for this? And she's like, yeah, great. That's my husband's name. Go for it. But we said, we need a robot zebra. And he's kind of fallen apart, but not a whole lot. So you'll notice that some part of him looks a little rusty. There's some pieces that are clearly from a Volkswagen Rabbit or some other device, you know, right? So he just came up with this beautiful thing. And then I said, oh, and by the way, it has to have a long mane, because I didn't realize zebras don't have like a horse's mane. So that was all me. Because at one point, I think Colin is riding him, and I said that he's holding on to his mane, and they're like, you realize that zebras just have little brush, right? They don't have long.
Well, at least this one does, and his hair is flowing and luscious. And
he looks like he's from the cover of a romance novel.
But makes it so cool.
And it's beautiful. And he did so he often gives us choices, which is almost more difficult than it is wonderful. It's wonderful, but then I'm like, I want them all. But he gave us two beautiful choices of the zebra, one facing forward and one the side view. And I love them both. And so just have them both.
Cool.
Yeah.
So it's a big step to go from pictures on your website to pictures inside a comic. You took a deep breath and said Kickstarter. So tell me about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's funny, too, because, again, Richard and Tim and my partner Richard, who plays the narrator, those guys are all big comic fans, like big readers of comics. And I am a little bit, but not nearly to the level that they are. And Richard Cowan, in particular, Elite, was saying, we should get Luke to do a comic book. We should really get a graphic novel. This would be a really great multimedia thing to do. And I kept saying, yes, 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 let's do it. And then just kind of being like, this. But we finally said, you know, let's do it. Let's pull the plug and set him loose. And then we decided we would do basically the first episode. Because,
Awesome.
Yeah. So
awesome.
That way people who are new to the people who've never heard the show can still understand the comic.
Yeah. That's what I was curious about, what you were going to do. Were you going to take it like in a, were you going to summarize the first six episodes? But I would do exactly what you just said, is start it with the first, because you, that way you don't accidentally give anything away.
That too. That is, yes, that is a very good point. Yeah. Yeah.
So for anyone who is listening that wants to go out and donate, look at your pictures, look at everything, because you've got David S. Deer, who has gone out. What, do they just go to Kickstarter and look up Oz 9?
Yes, yes. I could give you the URL, but it's quite long. But if you
but
just
we will
type
have it in the
Oz
show
9,
notes. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. I'll make sure you have it then.
Cool.
Yeah.
It is just look up Oz 9, and like I said, it'll be in the show notes. And today, as we're recording, this is April the 3rd. How long is this running?
Through April 30th, just
April
through
30th.
The end of the month. Yeah.
Awesome.
So fingers are, you know, have been crossed now for a couple days. And yeah, when we're doing a video, each cast member is doing a video. So we're going to try and do a video a day until we run out of people, double back on their second characters.
Gotcha.
We'll get four out of Eric that way. So.
So I, you know, you said four out of character or four of your characters. I have a question for you that I think probably no one has ever thought to ask you. Are you ready for this?
Probably not, but shoot.
Cool.
Let's give it a go.
If you had to be stranded alone on a desert island with one character from the Oz 9 U, and I am taking that, we're going to make this reality, not the MCU, the Oz 9 U. Would you choose LeBichon Frise, Colin, Donna, Dr. Von Haversetzer, or the Albatross? Pick whichever.
Oh, man.
Which one would you be stranded alone with?
I think I'm going to have to go Donna. I think Donna would irritate me the least and be the most resourceful. And she's not likely to, well, is she likely to kill me? I don't know.
I don't know either.
That's a tough crowd, man. So LeBichon Frise. So of all of those, the one I would trust most not to kill me is Colin, just because of competence.
Like, true.
He wouldn't be able to. He'd have to put down the martini.
Donna would be resourceful.
Mm-hmm. Donna would be resourceful. Albatross would also be very resourceful, but she's so bossy.
Yeah, very bossy.
And killer, you know.
Yeah.
So,
if you have on your right tag.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But if, we're on a desert island, probably wouldn't.
Yeah, but would the salt spray rust her eventually?
Well, you know, does the salt spray rust people from Scotland?
That's a good question. Well,
that's a very
not.
Good question. Sorry, Sweden.
Sorry, Sweden.
I think it has to be Donna. I think you're right, because I'm looking over the names. Colin, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. He'd be my second choice.
He would be my second choice, but spoilers. So I think I have to go with Donna, even though I would probably, it would be entertaining to be LBF.
Oh, yeah.
But I think we would survive the longest. We wouldn't survive very long with LBF.
No.
No.
No. Yeah, I really don't think so. For a multitude of reasons.
Reasons. Donna would probably, within a couple of days, have a hut built and would be foraging for whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she would be diving into the ocean and bringing up, you know, kelp and
whatever.
Sea stars or whatever one eats on a desert
island. She would be
island.
Decorating with sea stars.
Right. Right? Or turning them into throwing stars. I'm not entirely
there
sure.
You go. That sounds like an episode, decorating with sea stars.
Decorating with sea stars. So I have to ask you, Kyle, because I have never gotten a chance to ask you this, and I keep forgetting when we're actually talking. How did you discover Oz9?
It's a very interesting happenstance. I was asking a question to a very wise gentleman by the name of Pluto and said, I need a podcast to listen to. Can you recommend one? Oh, I think you might would like Oz9. That's how I learned about it.
Oh, how funny.
And
that's great.
About a couple of weeks after that, I was going to Atlanta, and it was like a 6 or 7 hour drive because I wasn't flying. And I said, oh, okay, I need something to listen to. And there were 15 episodes at the time, and 16 came out while I was gone.
Oh, how funny.
So that I listened to on the way there and on the way back.
Oh, my gosh. How
so that's
fun.
Why you hear me whenever I say I go places, I listen to Oz9. Because that's how I first started listening.
Oh, that's so fun. I love that. You know, it's so funny. Not too long ago, I was kind of going through some materials and I was looking through this old notebook. Well, it's not that old. Oz9's only 2 years old, but it's the series of the first scripts.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep them all in binders because this is as organized as I get. And that's basically because Richard does it for me. But I opened up the binder and I remembered that somebody had written this wonderful tweet on Twitter that was so complimentary and so glorious that I printed it out and said, I am keeping this. I don't know who this person is, but I'm keeping this in a folder forever and ever and ever, because whenever I feel badly about my ability to write, I'm going to drag this thing out and read it again. And so I came across it as I was looking through this folder, and it's Lee.
Oh.
Before I knew who he was.
Oh, that is cool.
Isn't that awesome?
That is so cool.
I know. And when you love somebody's writing as much as I love, you know, Relativity, that's just like, you know, it doesn't get better.
You know, and I hope Lee listens to this, because, you know, I'm going to say something that I've actually never said to him. I've always felt that I was betraying Relativity because I was always talking about Oz9. But I was always so into Relativity on the back end, you know, reading the scripts beforehand, and because
nice.
He was kind enough to give, you know, Clarence and I advance. Maybe I shouldn't say that out loud. Maybe I'll cut that out. But I did, and I was like, you know what? He's the one that told me about it. That's his fault. It's not my fault. It's his fault.
Take that. Take
there
that.
You go. Take that, Mr. Shackelford.
That's so great. I love listening to I listen to you guys, the three of you, discussing Who all the time, because sometimes I'll listen before I've actually seen the episode, which is a terrible thing to do, but I'll do it anyway because I can't wait. Hmm. And I love it because it is just, and I don't think it's because I know you guys. Well, actually, I've never met you and Clarence in person, but I feel like I have. But I feel like I know you guys so well that, and I don't know if it's this way for people who don't know you, but it's like listening to three friends of mine having a conversation, right? Like, I feel like I'm part of that conversation. Like, I'm just sitting at the table, but my mouth is probably full of food, so I can't contribute.
Well, that's what we try to do. We don't try to bash, even though when we don't like mm-hmm. something, we try to be nice about it and try to find good things, because there's plenty yeah. of people that like to say the bad things.
Yeah.
And it is a complete happenstance, if that's the right word that I'm looking for, that the chemistry between the three of us just worked mm-hmm. because Lee and Clarence had never met, had never even talked to each other before the first episode that we did.
Awesome. Yeah.
You know, and it just so happened that now they went on and did Relativity together, and, you know, all these, and it's so weird how meeting one person, like when Lee and I met on Podshock 7-some-odd 8 years ago, and you look at it now, you and I would have never met had Lee not met you. And it's this whole right. big pebble in the ocean that just waves and waves and waves, which yeah. is so cool.
It really is. Man, and I'll tell you what, these have been the best waves, because I have never had access to so many talented, intelligent, fun people to play with. Like, it's like the world's best sandbox. I love the podcast community for that.
You and I actually happened to be chatting over Discord when you were listening to the last review that you were on with us, which is The Wedding of River Song. Mm. And you got to hear some feedback from discussing Who feedback. So I'm curious, when you heard that, and it was two of the characters that you created in character, what did you think?
Oh, I howled. I absolutely howled, because, you know, June and Aaron, who play the Albatross and the Bichon Frise, are so much fun. And I could see them saying those lines and having so much fun with what you had written for them. And just then I could see you and Clarence kind of doing the head, you know, the forehead slap, like, oh, I can't believe he did it again. Oh, it was, I just howled. It was so fun and so unexpected. So that was great fun. I loved it.
I'm glad you did. And they had so much fun, I think, doing it.
Oh, yeah. They have told me since, yes.
Oh, cool.
Once the secret was out, yeah.
That was so much fun. And I am so a person who is not good at keeping a secret. And that was the hardest secret to keep that week.
Yeah, that was awesome. I so enjoyed that.
But one last FYI, and that is, for anyone who wants to find Oz9 on the internet, where would they go?
We are at oz-9.com, and you can find a link to the Kickstarter there, too.
oz-9.com, Kickstarter on that, as well as in the show notes. As we part, and I'm going to let you actually take us out and end the episode. So if we were to do something that we weren't supposed to, what might Olivia say?
It's not my fault.
And with that, we will be back next time. And there you have it. I'm not sure what you have, but you have it. You've been listening to Shannon Perry as herself. Our artwork is by Lucas Elliott, and our music is performed by John Faley. Episodes are usually directed by June Clark Eubanks, with narration by Richard Nadolny. Oz9 is written and produced by Shannon Perry. On behalf of Oz9 and the Discussing Network, see you next time, Space Monkeys. Narrator 2, out.
What are you doing in here?
Mon Dieu! Ma petite oiseau! I shall return!
Really? The things I put up with on this ship. Be sure to subscribe to Oz9 wherever you get your favorite podcasts.